Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, Miles Blumsom here for the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, joined by the guys from the No One Likes Us Talking team, Gary Staff, Eamon Barkley and Stan Goodwin. If you're a Nottingham Forest fan, go over to Love Sport Radio. Nottingham Forest Fan Show's on with Charlie Hawkins. This is Love Sport London, though. Millwall off a great win on the weekend. Reading's first defeat in 10 games, 2-0, goals from Smith and Bodvardsson. Guys, what a win on the weekend. What a win on Saturday.
Superb. I mean, the actual in the game itself, some of the football we was actually playing was, it was just a pleasure to sit and watch it.
Like watching Brazil, wasn't it, Stan?
It was beautiful.
Like watching Brazil, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far. All right. But no, I mean, it was just a pleasure to watch it. I mean, and to be honest, I can't think of one player there you could turn around and say was probably a bit off the ball. They was all up for it and they all played well.
Well, when you're having 20 shots on target, it means the team have played well, doesn't it? You can't really ask for much more than that as fans. Attacking football, getting in the chances. A little bit of concern that with 20 shots on target, only 2 go in, though.
Yeah, there's a big problem there. Actually, it was 8 on target, 20 shots in
all. Oh, 20 shots, 8 on target, sorry, yeah.
8 on target. Yeah, we've only got a scoring rate of 25%. That's a bit below the belt, really. If you was getting points as a boxer in a match... You wouldn't be winning the game, would you?
No, but I do feel their keeper did have a cracking first half. He kept out a few good shots, and he also gave Matt Smith a good punch in the face as well. If you watch those,
well, they managed to do a punch in the face whilst the other guy had their hands round him. We still never got the penalty.
No,
but yeah, they did bear down on us a little bit, and I don't think the score really reflected the effort because the effort was 100%.
And what I thought was good as well, we didn't give up. We kept on going. It was getting frustrating. Reading, obviously, with their result last night, was very good. But we just kept on going. We plugged away. And we got there in the end.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really good goal.
It was. I think Stan summed it up in a conversation he had me on the phone on a Monday when he said it's probably the best I've seen them play for a long, long time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no doubt about that whatsoever. I mean, you just sit there and you just listen to the crowd that's sitting around you. I mean, apart from, you know, I mean, obviously they're playing well, but it's the comments that you hear.
Yeah.
You know, and they're saying, well, why wasn't we doing this under Harris? Well, the reason we weren't doing it under Harris because Harris was a disciple of Route One. I mean, that was, but it's true, like, you know, and that's the difference.
You just mentioned about Reading sort of coming at the team a bit, trying to get physical, maybe losing their heads. Does that play into your hands, do you think? You like to see that because you think, you know, we're under their skin here.
Oh, Charlie Adam couldn't help himself. Absolutely couldn't help himself. But I'll give him his due. When old Jason Malumbi chipped him with the ball virtually at his feet, over the top and went round him, Charlie Adam ran after Jason Malumbi. He doesn't run as well as he used to, but he was applauding him. So good for Charlie Adam.
You know what? When he done that, old Jason, you know what he reminded me of? Do you remember ever seeing that thing with Frank Worthington on Match of the Day years ago when he played for Bolton where he flicked the ball over?
Yeah.
No, he did. The ball came in. I mean, and it was just like that.
Yeah, it was.
Incredible. It was. You just mentioned Malumbi. Him and Woods obviously dominating the midfield battle. That's where games are won and lost a lot of the time, aren't they?
Absolutely. Mm. They hunted like a pack, and if you had, depending which way they were going, it was either Shane Ferguson or Jed, who was with them, and they just wouldn't let the Reading wingers and midfielders get any legway at all. They stopped them continuously. The Tylehurst end, which is the Reading, voice, described it. It was like poodles versus bulldogs. So I think you're right. We really did well in the midfield. We're going to miss old Woodsy this coming weekend. But he did have a good debut, no doubt about it. His first game, and he looked like he'd been there, oh, God knows how long. He did a good job.
No, he played really well. It took him about, I think, about 10, 15 minutes to get into the swing of it all. But once he got there, I mean, he was superb.
The amount of times he nipped him.
Yeah.
Reading midfielder's foot, just took the ball off, just passed, moved it on to someone else. Yeah. It was just that, being next to them and not committing a foul, just going in, being that solid midfielder that we need, bit of a David Livermore type to hark back to the old
regime. It was just simple stuff. No, it was just simple stuff when you get the ball and just pass it next man. Nothing.
I mean,
Larry.
It seems so simple, doesn't it? That football is an easy game that's been made difficult. Surely, if you pass it to the person in your same team, you pass it forward, you get round the outside, you get the ball in the box, you have a shot, you score a goal. That's the point, isn't it?
Undoubtedly. Yeah. But I think it does help with old Malumbi. He's got something about him, probably because he's a captain of Ireland's under-21 side, that he seems to be able to fit up with whoever's put alongside him, and it works. Perhaps that's something that he's learnt as being a captain through the ranks in the Republic over time. He's a good class player. I hope we can hold him or get him to sign.
Eighth in the league now, 2 points off the playoffs. Preston in that last spot in sixth. And with the form that Millwall are in at the moment, the gap's closing. Can you see yourselves jumping in there?
Well, I'd like to think that we could. And the way we're playing, there's no doubt about it. It's really a joy to watch, and the confidence is brimming. Yeah. Whilst other sides are getting, as Stan would say, flaky around us.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's there to play for. I mean, all I'm saying is it's not an outrageous claim to turn around and say if we carry on like we're carrying on, right? Then the playoffs are well within our reach.
It's all you can ask for. Jed Wallace, who created both of the goals, it's quite good to move on to the next talking point. We're going to talk a little bit about transfers because he's created both the goals. It's gone quiet on whether he's going to be staying or leaving the club. Is it almost like no news is good news?
100%. As someone said earlier this week, I think it was on a podcast or something, if he wasn't playing for Millwall, it'd have been picked up by now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's working in our favour. People aren't looking for that type of player. So if he wants to go at the end of the season, that's fine. When he's got us in the Premier League, he can go for 20, 30 million. But no, for the time being, keep it quiet. Don't talk about his name. Super Jed can stay.
Linked with Aston Villa, isn't it? You'd rather be a team attacking towards the playoffs in the Championship than a team struggling in the Premier League anyway?
I think Jed Wallace would, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
He's having such a good game, and there's pictures and images in videos knocking about. And you can see his smiling face about how this team is working. And I think he's so comfortable about what he's doing and who he's doing it with that I think he'll stay. What do you reckon, Stan?
I mean, you just watch him on the pitch. I mean, he's playing well. I mean, there was one game he played. I mean, he was just out of this world. But his body language is right, you know. It's not as if he's sort of going along and it's everything's an effort and he don't want to be here. I mean, the opposite is the case. So you can't even say that he's had his head turned. I mean, that's what normally happens, isn't it? When they go off, they've been having their ear all bent. And, well, if he has, it's not clearly ain't working on him because he's kind of... Personally, I read all these stories in the papers, and but to me, it was just stories.
You know what it shows? Even if he does want to leave... It shows the right character, the right professionalism, and he actually cares about the fans enough to turn up every week, put a decent performance in to try and get this club in the Premier League. And that shows the character of a player, and that's the type of player you want to keep at the club. So it almost would be worse if he left now because of that attitude.
Yeah, Jed says the fans can see it all because I leave it on the pitch.
Yep, that's perfect.
Well, I tell you, you remember Gary Ablett? I remember Gary Mabbott. and I had a conversation with him once, and he once turned around and said that when players leave a club, he said there's a way in which you do it, like you do it correctly. And at the moment, if he's, I think a lot of this is all hype. I think Wallace is more than happy where he is, personally.
Moving on to Jason McCarthy, utility defender, has gone back to Wickham on loan, scored a wonder goal on his return. Rowett favours Brown at right back behind Romeu. He's going to look at McCarthy's future in the summer. Do you think that's fair? Does he have a future at the club?
Well, it's a tough one, really, because he certainly didn't inspire when he turned out against Newport in the Cup. He played at Oxford as well in the Carabao Cup, and he wasn't over special there either. And it's odd because this guy, if you've seen him play for Wickham, you'd wonder why he ain't playing further up the Football League. But there's something there, and I don't know what it is. Maybe he does come back. Maybe we play Romeu further up the pitch. Maybe Brown plays and they give him a bit longer time. But I think it's kind of right to say we'll take a look at it come the summer.
Let's quickly move on to Ryan Woods. Now, Wright signed him now on loan for the season. He's cup tied on Saturday. Southwark News' John Kelly reports that Rowett says there's a potential permanent deal for Ryan Woods. Is this a player you want to see staying permanently at Millwall?
100%. He's a really good player. Don't know if we could afford the 6.5 million that Derby, I think it was.
If you get in the Premier League, there's the money.
But maybe we could, now he's come out on loan, we might be able to get him a bit cheaper. But 100% from the first watchings of him last Saturday, I think he could fit in quite well. And Raul only said he's played at 75%. Well, yeah. I'll take 75% of that.
Yeah.
Emma Wynn is the younger sister of Millwall fan and former boxer Charlie Wynn. Emma's making the following appeal for your support.
Hello, I'm Emma Wynn. My brother's Charlie Wynn. He's a season ticket holder at Millwall and a former professional boxer. Some of you already know about Charlie and what he's going through. He's been going through since March 2018. But for anyone who actually doesn't, basically Charlie had a mishap during a sparring session and he became very weak. My brother lost consciousness and he was taken to King's College Hospital in London. We were told that he had suffered a large lead on the brain. Charlie had to have emergency life-saving surgery where they had to remove a part of his skull to relieve dangerous pressure that was within his skull. The operation was successful. The bleed was stopped, but Charlie was significantly injured to the brain as a result from the bleed, and he was in King's College for about 10 weeks in a minimally conscious state. So Charlie was then moved to the Royal Hospital for Neurodisability in Putney, which was in May 2018, and since then he's been making amazing progress. Charlie started to learn how to communicate with us again. Firstly, he started to use gestures such as raising fingers to say yes or no. He then started to speak to us a little bit again and we started to hear him saying our names out loud and just speaking to us in small amounts, and as you can imagine, that was the best feeling in the world. Then in Christmas 2018, he was able to move to the Raphael Hospital in Tunbridge, which is where he is now, still continuing to make a steady progress there. He's doing amazing. Yeah, he does. He just amazes me and his strength inspires me. He's still got a massive journey ahead of him and it's unknown what his limitations will be. But one thing that is factual is that he won't stop fighting. He's determined to walk again and he's determined to come home. And he said that in his own words as well. The only issue that we face is that his rehabilitation centre, it's not NHS funded. Extra physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, just to name a few, they're all having to be privately funded. On top of any adjustments that we're having to make to his house to make it suitable for him when a day does come that he can come home. So Charlie's always been the opposite to me. He's always been the fit one. He could outdo me. Basically, in September last year, I decided to get myself onto a 0 to 10K running challenge just to try and improve my own fitness. But basically, I ended up taking a bit of a shine to running and I'm really enjoying it. I've taken a plunge and booked myself onto the London Winter 10K, which is only in a few weeks' time. It's on February the 9th. I've done this in a hope to be able to get some sponsorship behind me and raise as much as I can for Charlie as well. Charlie actually done a 10K run and he completed it in 44 minutes and 7 seconds. I'm going to try and basically give it my all and try and complete the 10K in an hour, I'd be really proud of that. But, you know, that's just a personal goal. That's, as long as I complete it, that's good enough. Just on one more note as well, I'd just like to thank everyone who has supported Charlie, not just for what I'm raising, any event that I'm doing for him, but for everything in general. Anyone who's ever supported any events and fundraisers and stuff in the past for him, anyone who just is just sharing posts and stuff, that's you know, that's good enough. Like, just sharing the post and getting it out there, getting his story heard, and even thanking people just for all the lovely messages that we've received and the support and that, you know. It really does give him even more of an incentive to know that he's got so much love and support around him. Just like to thank you all, and hopefully we'll get Charlie home soon.
It's absolutely incredible. Emma Wynne there, younger sister of Millwall fan and former boxer Charlie Wynne. We really want to get involved in helping people in the Millwall community. It's an incredible challenge that they have. We wish both Charlie and yourself, Emma, all the best. Your sponsorship can be as much or as little as you can afford. You can do this by entering GoFundMe Emma Wynne into your search engine. Wynne is spelt W-Y-N-N. Once again, GoFundMe Emma Wynne. Up next, we're going to talk to Tony Whitter. He was actually last week's Millwall legend. Won all in the game at Wolves. Wolves won, Liverpool won, and also in the third round replay of the FA Cup, Watford have equalised at Tranmere Rovers. This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Miles Blumsom here for the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London, joined by the No One Likes Us talking team of Gary Staff, Eamon Barkley and Stan Goodwin. Incredible story that we've just heard from Emma Wynne. I tell you what, if you want to see a big man cry, Eamon, the tears are in your eyes. It really is incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, let's go on a more positive note now in terms of actual Millwall legends we've got on the phone, because we're joined now by Tony Whitter. He's our guest for the show this evening. Jamaican-born Anthony Junior Whitter played football during the 1980s and 90s. Many Millwall fans will remember. He was a central defender who played for numerous clubs during his career, including Millwall, Scunthorpe United and Bohemians in Ireland, amongst others. Spent 4 seasons at Millwall, 104 league appearances, as the stats say, scoring 2 goals. A solitary appearance for Bohemians against Galway United in December 1999 concluded his playing career before he hung up his boots. He held the record for the quickest goal ever scored for Plymouth Argyle by a player on his loan debut in 1992 until Jamie Mackey broke the record in February 2008 against Barnsley. Well, it's an impressive way to start a career for a club. Tony, welcome to the show. You started your football at Grays in 1989, ended up joining Millwall in 94 after being on the books at Crystal Palace and then QPR. How did the move to the Den come about?
Good evening, gents.
Good evening.
Good evening, Tony.
First and foremost, can I just send up my wishes to the Wynne family and their situation they're going through? You know, that's something that we all don't want to have to go through, but, you know, my thoughts are with them anyway.
Thank you,
Tony.
So yeah, how did that move to the Den? How did it come about that you ended up moving to Millwall?
I was on loan at QPR, and I went out on loan to Millwall, where Mick McCarthy was finishing his playing career. He was in the reserves, and I don't know if you guys remember Alan McCleary. He was supposed to leave the club at some stage. I was brought in as that replacement. I think he was going to either Nottingham Forest. I can't remember. It's a long time ago, but it didn't happen. And I think Bruce Rioch was the manager then or something like that. And I was on loan at the same time as Casey Keller. If the guys remember, it was on trial.
One case of Stella. We know. Yeah, we remember that.
Yeah, it turned out to be a full case, actually. I struck up a friendship with Mick. Mick was finishing up, and, you know, I was playing a couple of games in reserve, then he liked what he saw, and he said to me at the time where I was actually going back to QPR after my loan period, he goes, if I ever get a manager job, you'll be one of the players I come for. And so, and that was it. That was the start of my Millwall, story, you know.
In his Yorkshire Irish accent. I mean, that's fantastic, really.
Never could understand Because one time he'd be Irish, next time he'd be a proud Yorkshireman. You
know? Yeah, he certainly was enlightening. You replaced the great Barnsley Irishman, Mick, in the Millwall side. Was that a hard act to follow?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look at Mick's career. I mean, at the end of the day, he was a legend in his own right, you know. And at the end of the day, I was where I was trying to make a name for myself. And, you know, he gave me that opportunity to show what little or what, you know, what I had to offer, you know.
Brilliant. The last game of the 95-96 season, Millwall were desperate to win as they were having a sweat on other results to avoid a relegation from the second tier. Do you remember that final game where you came on as a substitute at Ipswich?
That was at Ipswich. Hold on, that was the Scottish Jimmy Nicol. Yeah, Jimmy
yes.
Nicol. And yeah. I mean, that in itself, that was a little, like every professional footballer can tell you a story of all they want to do is play. And for some reason, Jimmy didn't quite see me as one of his players in his new-vamped Millwall side. And I got sort of like sidelined, benched for whatever reason. And yeah, shall we say, the Ipswich game, I think I came on as a forward in the last few minutes or something.
You did,
like
you did. I was astounded. I was, and I couldn't believe it that he threw you on and threw you up front. I thought, God, blimey, something must have happened there.
Last throw of the dice, isn't it? You saw the door was open and somebody was standing by the door showing him the exit. So that was...
Yeah, you must have been standing up at the time.
I think I was the usher.
were you thinking, though, this is my chance, here we go, hero moment?
Well, you just want to get on it. I mean, if it happened, it would have happened. But as it was, I do remember it. And it was, you know, it was one of the worst days because obviously... Or, you know, as the guys know, the club was in some sort of turmoil at that period, going through ups and downs and financial this and that. And, you know, who wants to see a side go down, you know, when all it needed, you know, was a bit of straightening out. And, you know, it just wasn't nice. But, you know, it happened. And, I mean, the club has gone on bigger and stronger since then, definitely.
I mean, I watched you that day, and I'll give you your due. You put 110% into trying to score a goal. For that side, it just didn't happen, and we all went home with the ump, and I suspect you lot did too. But beyond that, I mean, you what was the most memorable match that you played for Millwall?
We had three on that the cup run where we beat Chelsea, and nearly got and didn't quite make it off the pitch. the Arsenal game at Highbury, you know, Beardy and Kennedy scoring and, you know, winning. And actually, my most favourite moment would be the game at the Den when we drew 0-0 with Arsenal in the first, was it the first leg or the FA Cup? And we actually, I had a job given to me to mark one of my heroes at the time, which was Ian Wright. And, you know, Wright, as we all know, he has a lot to say on the pitch and a lot to say off it, you know.
But you blew him away.
Yeah, but that was the job to do, and that was it. And he never forgave me for that, because he always said, he said, why don't you go and play for a decent club? I goes, listen, this is a decent club, it's just that you're not at it. So, you know,
you're right.
He always wanted to play for us, though.
Well, he was a Millwall fan as a kid.
He was a fan, he was.
I'll tell you what, Tone, I remember when the day that you made your debut at Millwall, and I see something there I can't ever recall quite seeing since then. You come on in that game, because to be honest, there was a lot of people that was in the ground saying, well, who's this guy Tony Whittier? Because you'd been in the reserves and all that, you know, and this people going,
walking in a Whittier wonderland.
Yeah, but what happened, he come on and he had and I think about 10 minutes, 15 minutes from the end, old Mick McCarthy substituted you. I think he probably thought you was probably a bit worn out.
It was a spoke game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I tell you what, when he walked off that pitch, he got a standing ovation. Now, this is to a player who, after crowd, hadn't seen him till before that game.
No,
it's true, and that spoke volumes for the way he played. And after that, he never looked back.
And they kept singing that song, Walking in a Whittier Wonderland.
That's right, yeah.
Does that still ring in your ears, Tony?
Yeah, I still get a few old boys like yourselves. Well, Mike myself as well. You know,
yeah, hold up. Yeah.
They do. Some of them do remind me, and the name pops up, comes up now and again, and they do that one verse. They've got it, and they've always remembered it. So yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not Cascarino, I'm not Teddy Sheringham, but they remember me for that. It's not the way I played for the games I played for Millwall.
It was the energy.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah.
Tony, who was your greatest inspiration at Millwall?
Greatest inspiration. God, good question. Good question. I'll tell you who done something for me. Remember Ian Dawes?
Yeah.
Dawesy. Because Dawesy was my original boy of the club, which was QPR. Yeah. And Dawesy, no matter what was going on for injury for him and all that, he always took guys aside and had a word in their ear and always give them a little G up and told them, you know, just to keep straight and be a good professional. And, you know, he did a lot for me in that regard, because he was somebody very quiet about his manner and just got on with it, you know. So, yeah, I'd say Dawesy was up there, pulling that from the past.
Excellent. Yeah. I always liked Ian Dawes. And finally, go on, how do you see us doing this season then, Tony?
Wow, I was listening to you guys on your analysis of what's going up. I've been in the background looking at Millwall. You always got that ear and listen out. And, you know, as the game has gone on to its hype of overinflated players and money throwing around left, right and centre, and Millwall has always been there and thereabouts. And, you know, they produce their players, they have a system, they play to their strengths and they always come good in the end. You know, like you said, some good, some bad. But the way they're ticking away at the moment, it's going to be just like it's been for a few seasons, the run into it. They never have that, well, we're running with the leaders at the beginning. They always have a strong end and get into the playoffs and then do the playoff route. So I can see that happening again this year, definitely. I don't think it will be automatic, but it will be definitely a run up. They'll be there and thereabouts at the end.
Are they going to go up? The Millwall going to go up?
Well, what can I say? Yeah, of course they are.
Hey,
just, the only thing to say.
Just before you go, Tony, so it's the No One Likes a Talking podcast, but I want to turn this into the No One Likes a Singing, because I think that before we let you go, Eamon, you've got to lead it. Walking in a Winter Wonderland. We've got to give the rendition.
Walking along, singing a song, walking in a winter wonderland.
It's 9:30. This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
How good was Millwall legend Tony Whittle? What a good guy. We were just talking to him before. Miles Blumsome here on the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. The No One Likes Us Talking guys with me. Gary Staff, Eamon Barkley and Stan Goodwin. Quick score updates from the games going on right now. Wolves are still holding Liverpool at Molineux 1-1. And it's Tranmere Rovers 1, Watford 1 in the third round replay. That rescheduled game after it was waterlogged. Called off for a waterlogged pitch last week. We'll go to extra time and penalties, so we could be giving you score updates on that for a while to come. Watford will be disappointed not to get past Tranmere over two games. Going on to our fan in the dugout today, it's a really good person, and I will say I've noticed her on Twitter because I've been tagged in the show posts and she's always commenting. She's a great fan of the show. This week's fan in the dugout says on her Twitter page, Millwall's been in my blood since 1968. I've seen so many great games and players. It's been good, bad and ugly at times. She lives in Milton Keynes and follows the Lions at home from the cold blow lane stand and away whenever she can. And in particular, if trains permit, it's Diana Day. She's delighted with the side's performance against Reading. It's disgusting with the prices of being charged away fans by both Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United. Diana, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, Miles, and hello, the crew. How are you tonight? I'm brilliant myself.
Well,
lovely to meet you, Diana.
As you always are, Diana. It's Eamon here.
It's lovely to meet you and to put a voice to the Twitter feed. I can now read the tweets in your voice, and I can feel a personal connection now. How much are these two Yorkshire sides asking Millwall fans to pay?
Well, it's ridiculous prices, really, when you look at it, especially with Leeds, a midweek game now being £39 for anybody travelling, from London. And you top that on there with the prices of the rail fare to get from London, if you're lucky to be able to get up that by train, and it's well over £100 for a game. And then obviously top that game with going to Yorkshire again on Saturday, £33 for a ticket. And again, another £100 for the track. So, you know, football fans from London are really getting stung with these prices, with the rail tickets. And, you know, let's be fair. The Premier League actually puts a cap on away tickets. And I think that's what the EFL should actually be doing for clubs and fans travelling away from home. My personal view, £28 ceiling on away tickets is what it should be for everybody. Being a concession, just having 65th birthday, so I'm now getting it a bit cheaper, so that's a plus on my side. I think that, even with Millwall, travelling fans are paying somewhere in the region of £29 for a game, and I think that's a little bit on the steep side. You want people to come to watch games.
You do. But the other thing is, Diana, you ever thought about booking into a travel lodge in Yorkshire? Because it would be cheaper doing it that way between those two games, I think.
I have actually thought about it, and I've looked at the prices for it, because for me, I'm such a, one for getting cheap tickets on the trains. I mean, I managed to get tickets from Milton Keynes to Sheffield on the week Saturday for £24 or £25, £24. And that's, sort of 2.5 hours worth of planning, but I get a good price. I just wish I could do the same to get in the game.
Yeah.
Diana, it's Stan here. How are you? All right.
I'm good, Stan. How are you?
Well, I'm all the better for hearing you, I have to say.
And I always
look forward to her tweet in the morning.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
The sunshine of my life. I can put it no stronger than that.
Is that between you and your boiled eggs?
No, I don't do boiled eggs, okay. But no. Anyway, what did you make of the game on Saturday, Diane?
I thought it was one of the best games I've seen at Millwall for years and years. That is, that everybody gave 100%, and like you were saying just now, the Malumbi flip over Adam Zed, that was just something else to watch, And yeah, Charlie, when he applauded, when he turned around, I thought, yeah, he's been sold a dummy, but he's actually a good lad. He's applauded him, and we've got on with the game. And yeah, I was talking to a couple of young Reading fans before the game, and, we're saying we want to really see a good game of football. And at the end of the day, if we come away with a 0-0 draw, both teams have done extremely well. But I really want to see Millwall come away with a win, maybe 1-0, with a push, 2-0. And we got exactly what we wanted. So
yeah, that's right.
Fantastic game, fantastic atmosphere. And it's what you go to the den for.
Exactly. For sure.
Hi, Diana. It's Gary here. So, do you think we need to strengthen anywhere?
We've got one or two places in the pitch where we're getting a bit light. Obviously, I think we need to have somebody else in midfield as a backup. I know we've got a couple of young players coming through, but if we're going to be serious about going for a push and finishing the top six, shall I say? I think we still need to bolster that midfield just with one additional player, because I don't think the players coming back from injury are going to be really up to the speed and be into the Millwall way of playing at the moment. We just need somebody else in that midfield spot as a backup.
Anyone in particular?
No, not really anybody in particular, but who I believe in Gary. Gary's got these guys down to a T. He knows who he wants.
We trust in Gary. That's what we were having a conversation about, weren't we, Diana?
Yeah, we trust in Gary. That's and it. Whatever Gary says is what we believe in.
That's the truth.
And, when you pick up a guy like you do and he turns out for you on Saturday, first game in there, and he looks as if he's been there all season.
Yeah, he did.
That's the quality that he can pick up as a manager.
Yeah.
He's got something else. Gary has something else. I'm not taking away from Neil. Neil did well for 4 years, but we got bored with the long ball.
You're right.
And Gary's brought that style. The same players. We've got the ball on the deck. We can mix it, match it. We can put it long if need be. But we've got those players like Jed that can actually take it around players. And they are worth, I don't know whether it's £1 million or £100 million.
Somewhere in the middle, you know, I reckon, Diana.
Yeah, but I mean, he's an absolutely fantastic player. And we've got a few others in that club that can do that. They just need, like Mahoney, just need to have the confidence that know they can do it and just demonstrate it on the pitch. Not to worry about us fans, because us fans are going to be with them all the way.
Diana, just I mean, you obviously really saw that game in a highlight. But all in all, over the period of time you watched the Lions, what is your most memorable game in following them?
Well, if you talk about the last 10 years, I would definitely say the game at Leeds. When we beat them 4-3. You know, we were 2-0 up at half time, and I was saying to the guys that I meet at away games, and I was saying to them, you know, 2-0 is not a comfortable result here. Leeds are playing really good football. I can see us letting in one, and if we let in one, maybe two. And bosh, we're 3-2 down within 10 minutes of the second half. We pulled it together, and that was a super Jed. Dying minute of the game, bashed it in the back of the net. And we went absolutely popping.
Diane,
that is the most memorable.
Yeah, Diane, just one thing. I'm interested to know, who, in all the time you've been watching Millwall play, who would you say was the one player that stood out for you head and shoulders above anybody else?
Keith Weller.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, I agree with that totally, yeah. Well, I absolutely agree with that.
I mean, even if you had Keith Weller, in the Millwall team today, he would still be head and shoulders above all those other players that are out on there.
Yeah.
Same with Barry Kitchener. You know, we've got some fantastic defenders in that team now with, even Piercy coming in. I was a bit suspicious about Piercy coming in from Derby, but what a quality player he's turned out. So I'll eat my words on that. Barry Kitchener, absolutely, he was the man mountain. He was Mr. Millwall for years and years, and he was real quality.
Diana, who is your favourite player in the Millwall side at the moment?
Oh, God, I mean, at the moment, if you go by the Reading game, everyone. Bart, by far.
Seeing somebody
that can actually get down, save a ball, get up, catch a ball, all these things that you expect to see in a goalkeeper. Bart is by far the best player on my books that we've got in that team, because he is head and shoulders above anybody else I've seen in goal for us for the last 10 years.
Easy. Mr. Bielkowski, as I call him. The others can't pronounce that, Diana.
Bielkowski, that's obviously. I mean, and it's the same. I mean, we've got Daddy. He scored an absolute peach of a goal.
He did.
On Saturday. And people have been asking questions of him lately.
They have.
And he has got something that, given him the chance, put him through on the deck, he is going to score goals.
That's what we want.
25. But you look around the team itself this year, we've scored goals. Not anybody is actually electric. How many players have got 8 and 9 goals?
Yeah. No.
It's not just one player.
No.
We've spread it through the team this year.
No, when it's all between them, it makes a big difference. It's coming up to our time, But lastly, before you go, Diana, it's been a pleasure, but give us a prediction for Millwall against Sheffield United.
Millwall, Sheffield United will come away with a comfortable 3-1 victory.
Oh, big call, big call. That's what we like.
I'll take that.
Diana, thank you so much for joining the show. Our fan in the dugout this week, Diana Day. We're going to have to let Stan go and calm down, I think. He's a bit hot under the collar over that one. That was absolutely fantastic. Let's quickly move on to this week's Millwall legend. It's been proposed by Sean Rowan, Eamon Dumphy. Firstly, you, Stan, what do you think?
A good shout. In the time that he played, I mean, he was a class act, and no question about that. And when he first came to Millwall, I mean, really, when you see him play, he looked very slight, you know. You thought, blimey, he ain't going to survive this. But no, he was a good player. He was an excellent player for Millwall.
Legend? Yeah. Well, definitely.
Yeah, I'd go legend, yeah.
Eamon?
Well, with a name like Eamon, what else can I say? I don't need to really say too much more. But actually, no, this was a guy that inspired me. He used to take me for football when I was at school. He certainly used to inspire me further down the line when I went to Catford Dogs, because he'd sit there on the old winning line, and when there was a dead heat, he'd be offering odds on the two dogs that went gone through the dead heat. He also managed to throw a few drinks our way as well. But no, he held the most caps for Millwall for many years, playing for the Republic of Ireland. And he only lost that to another Irish Republic player, David Fuld. But his skill and his ability certainly shone through. And he was a great number 10.
Legend or hero?
Oh, hero.
Hero. OK, and Gary?
See, Eamon was a bit before my time, unfortunately.
Oh, that's us.
So I asked my dad earlier about Eamon, and he said he loved him. Midfield controller, played in the infamous 71 season when we almost got promoted on the last game of the season. And my dad's response was, an absolute legend.
Absolutely.
I think we can firmly put him in the legend category then.
Yeah. In that box.
Absolutely. In the games happening at the moment, Watford travelled up to Tranmere to go to extra time. Remember that the winner of this tie has to play Manchester United on Sunday. Wow, incredible. And this Liverpool team just always get the job done. 5 minutes to go, Roberto Firmino scored. Liverpool 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. Up next, we'll talk a little bit about the Lionesses. This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Just coming up to 10 to 10, this is Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome here for the Millwall Fan Show with the No One Likes Us talking team of Gary Staff, Eamon Barkley and Stan Goodwin. It's time to get an update on the Lionesses. Eamon, you've got an update for us.
Yeah, as we come up to Cowboy team time, 10 to 10. Lionesses boss Colin Reid had a day off from competitive football last Sunday. Despite it not being a game day, the Lionesses squad showed their dedication to the team and club by training along with trialists at Sunday's open trials at St Paul's. Since then, the club has signed Millwall Community Trust post 16 graduate Olivia Gregory, good name that Gregory, we've had one of those before, to the Millwall Lionesses. Colin says Olivia looks a very energetic and lively athletic signing, who would be ideal to play either as a fullback or probably anywhere up top, as either a 7-11 or centrally as a 9. That's a pretty good utility player. Obviously, she's very versatile and gives us a few options, which are great to have. Olivia is good technically and has a real pace and looks very capable of beating players wherever she plays. Like London Buses, a second signing come along the next day. Yeah, not after each other. Caitlin Lewis. Colin says of Caitlin, she is physically strong and looks to be technically very neat and tidy with a good range of pass too. Her ball retention looks very good and her clean, crisp pass being cut passing even will undoubtedly help us to maintain possession and help to dominate the possession-based game we try to play. Both have made good first impressions in training and all will develop even more if they are open-minded and willing to listen to the information given to them. We have worked and will continue to work on a game understanding and in particular working on our shape both in and out of possession, and that means continuing to develop working not only on a shape but patterns of play, which appears new to many who have commented on this since my arrival. I am continually working on the importance of the shape of the team and how much easier it is to play. If we are organised, our structure is a big part of that, and knowing where our own players will be and ensuring the passing options when in possession. It's choices of passes and knowing what the opponents are up to. This is the same when we're out of possession too. Well, that all sounds very positive. We also learnt that Shannon Drew, who we compared with Jed Wallace last week, features in a short YouTube video on Tom Taylor's channel, that's Tom Taylor, called My Life in Football, Shannon Drew. Check it out. It's a great insight into life with women's football. And Millwall, of course. Colin also talked about the group as a collective ahead of Sunday's game. He said, the staff and all the players, along with myself, are very much looking forward to the weekend. And let's hope the weather is good and that we can get the result that we are looking for, whilst remembering the work and preparation to ensure another positive result. And that means not becoming or allowing players to become complacent. Well, the Lions head to Lee in Essex for a 2 p.m. kick-off this Sunday, where a win will keep them in the league, or at the top of it anyhow. Colin told us, Lee Ramblers are a very good team, competitive and possess a very quick player up top, who will pose problems if we switch off and go to sleep. We need to take the game to them as we did last time and get on the front foot from the start. For me, that means dominating possession and playing forwards when we can feed our three early. If we can get it out wide two, whoever plays there Sunday, as I believe we have the quickest and best wide players in the league. Fantastic. We are all prepared and are having a break last weekend. We'll respect our opponents as we always do. However, we will play without fear and take the game to opponents from the very start. We will always give 100% effort and commitment, whatever the score, and more importantly, knowing that we can beat anyone. And those that support us and follow Millwall will know that. That was great, Colin. So give us some time and we'll update you on the Lions once again next week.
Back to the men's side. This weekend's a big game. FA Cup fourth round hosting Sheffield United at the Den. Sheffield United manager Chris Wilder has been saying that new signings Jack Robinson and Jack Rodwell will not simply be handed appearances for this weekend's FA Cup tie. Wilder added that there will only be two or three changes to the side to face the Lions on Saturday. The Blades' form in the last 2 months has seen them within touching distance of the European places in the Premier League. Apart from defeats to Manchester City, home and away in Liverpool, they've shown credible results against the like of Arsenal, Newcastle, Villa, West Ham. They beat AFC Fylde in the last round, but can the Lions add another scalp to their impressive number of Premiership wins at the Den? Gents, is another giant killing coming?
Yeah.
That's all we need.
No, I say that because I honestly believe, because in the FA Cup, it's a one-off game, and the only thing you can ever hope for is when you're in the draw is that you get the home draw. I don't believe this business about he's only going to make a couple of changes, because he's got, you know, if he's on the crest of Europe, he's going to want to finish as high as he possibly can. And therefore, I don't think he's going to sort of put that at risk, that sort of form. So no, we can. I mean, they're beatable. I mean, we've got to be on our game and all that sort of thing. We don't just rock up there and expect to win the game. But no, we can win that game.
We talked about how important Woods and Malumbi were in the midfield on the weekend. Woods is cup-tied. Who do you think's going to come in and replace him?
Well, I reckon Shane Ferguson could do a job there. He certainly showed it at the weekend. He was playing out left wide. But he certainly was the man that was chasing down players as they come along and joined both Woods and Malumbi in that pack of dogs that the Tylehurst end sort of referred to as had. So I think Shane Ferguson has got that ability to pop into the midfield, and I think he might be the person that plays there.
I agree, because I think the likes of Robinson coming in and Jack Rodwell, even though Rodwell's been asleep down at Sunderland for the last 3-4 seasons, he's still a good player. He didn't play the highest level for, was it Man City for a while?
He went from Everton to Man City, and he was at Blackburn last season.
Yeah, well, he's a good player and he's knows his stuff, so I think you're going to need a bit of a stronger head in there like Ferguson, who can maybe chop him down a little bit more.
How do you see Millwall coming out to face a Premier League opposition on Saturday? How do you need, is it a fast start that's needed to get ahead, or just take your time?
Well, I think you're going to need to turn it on, because on paper, right? Any Premier League team must be better on paper. I mean, all right, the reality might be something else. So you can't afford to sit back and watch. You've got to sit. You've got to take the game to them.
Yeah,
and you've got to put them out of their stride.
I think the difference against Sheffield United though this time would be when we've played Everton, we've played up for teams like that. They've not expecting us to come at them. Mm. Sheffield United, because they've only just come up, will know a bit more about us.
Quickly before we finish, predictions, Stan.
Oh, I think Millwall win by the odd goal.
The odd goal, Eamon.
I'll go for the odd goal in three.
And Gary.
I'll go 2-0.
Thanks so much, guys, from the No One Likes Us Talking podcast. That was the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Up next, we'll be going to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Miles Blumsome here, just coming up towards 10 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.